You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Good afternoon, Brian Taylor here, standing in for Phil Williams on Right Side Radio, a News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil is on vacation for Thanksgiving, so we wish him and his wife well as they travel to see their kids. And he gave me an opportunity to stand in for him today and talk with you, be with you today to talk about the news of the day. So Phil has showed me yesterday. He's got a note stamped above his computer, his workstation. And he calls it an honor to have this platform. He said that yesterday, says it often. And so I want to thank you, Phil, for sharing your platform with me today. And I look forward to spending this time with your listeners. So, of course, I'm joined here today by Copper. How are you today, Copper?
I'm doing well.
Good. Are you ready for Thanksgiving?
I am. We're not doing a turkey, though. We're doing snacks. So it's going to be like hors d'oeuvre galore.
And does everybody come here for Thanksgiving?
No.
You're traveling.
No, I'm not. I'm staying here. I've got an older sister and then some friends, but I won't be able to visit my parents this year.
Well, I'm sure you will be with them in spirit and they with you.
Indeed, indeed. What are your Thanksgiving favorites?
Well, we usually fry a turkey.
Ooh.
How do y'all do yours usually?
Bake. Frying sounds a lot better,
just
though.
Traditional baked turkey. We've fried turkeys. We've never done a smoked turkey for Thanksgiving. Some people do that. But, you know, Elizabeth Warren has been talking about turkey today. Senator Warren has called for a probe into turkey costs as prices soar. She wants the Department of Justice to investigate the poultry industry for fixing prices. The price of a Thanksgiving this year has jumped more than 14% over last year. Have you felt any of that? Have you been out to the store and...
I didn't buy a turkey, but definitely beef prices and bacon prices, I've seen those.
Yeah, everything's up. I don't know whether Senator Warren is onto something here or not. Apparently, there's been some history of anti-competitive pricing in the poultry industry, supposedly, but she chose to do that today. And of course, no one would stop nowadays to politicize anything, so why not politicize Thanksgiving? In fact, the Wall Street Journal had an editorial a couple of days ago about, I don't know if you've heard of this, change.org is circulating a petition that would call on the Wall Street Journal to cease and desist from publishing their traditional Thanksgiving editorials. They've been publishing two editorials on Thanksgiving since 1961. It's just a tradition that they do, and their readers generally love these editorials. The Wall Street Journal calls it a historical account about the Pilgrims in 1620, as related by William Bradford, who was a governor of the Plymouth Colony. And the second editorial they run is a contemporary contrast, they say, from the mid-20th century about the progress of a prosperous America and the progress that America has made that we can all be thankful for. Those sound like very dangerous political commentary, don't they? It's a sign of our times that somebody would circulate a petition on change.org, but it's already got some 50,000 signatures calling on the Wall Street Journal not to celebrate Thanksgiving on its editorial page tomorrow. And let's see, he says the gentleman's name is Randy Kritkowski. He's an author who writes about Native Americans, and he says, tell the Wall Street Journal that it's 2021. It's time to stop publishing 17th century racism. So, you know, Thanksgiving is now a racist holiday, according to Mr. Kritkowski. And the good news, though, coming out of this, Wall Street Journal published this editorial the other day. Said, we don't mind giving critics a chance to make their case, but we won't bend to political demands for censorship. We will run the editorials as usual this week. So if you're a reader of the Wall Street Journal and you enjoy reading those traditional editorials every Thanksgiving, you still have that opportunity. Well, there's a lot going on, Copper. There's a lot going on right now. We just heard shortly, a little while ago, that there is a verdict out in the Ahmaud Arbery case. People have been watching that very closely, especially since the outcome of the Rittenhouse case. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I want to revisit some issues about the Kyle Rittenhouse case and some developments and commentary that's developed since then. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in space these days. We had an exciting launch at 12:30 Central this morning. Looks like we're going to try to knock an asteroid off of its orbit. And so we'll talk a little bit about that and some other things going on in space, particularly as they relate to China and its threats against the U.S. And we're going to have a friend of mine, Todd Stacey, who is the publisher of Alabama Daily News, which is an online news source that covers Montgomery politics, what's going on in the state. He's going to call in for a little while and talk to us a little bit about what's going on in Montgomery and what we might be able to expect in the upcoming session in the spring after the holidays. And then we've got guest former state senator and now candidate for Congress, Paul Sanford, is going to call in in the last hour. And so we look forward to talking to Paul Sanford. I served with him in the Senate, and he's a great guy. And I want to hear a little bit more about his campaign and what he plans to do if and when he gets to Washington. So we've got a lot of things going on, a lot of things we can talk about. I want to touch, first of all, on the Kyle Rittenhouse case. As I'm following the news, you know, one thing sticks out at me about this case, and it's the question of what's the difference between justice and revenge. And this case was about justice, but I think the left wanted it to be about revenge. And there was a great opinion piece yesterday by Jason Riley in the Wall Street Journal, and he asks this question. He says, the purpose of a trial is to assess the facts in each case, not to settle scores between identity groups. And he writes, any objective observer of the Rittenhouse trial, any objective observer would have to conclude that justice was the last thing on prosecutors' minds. Mr. Rittenhouse was charged in the shooting of three men, two of them fatally, during street protests last year in Kenosha, Wisconsin. The evidence was clear that he was not the aggressor. He was chased, cornered, beaten, and had a pistol pointed at him. Only then did he fire his weapon in self-defense. At best, the prosecutors grossly overcharged the defendant. At worst, charges shouldn't have been brought in the first place. And he was acquitted on all accounts. Mr. Riley goes on to write later in the opinion piece that President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris have made it clear that they were unhappy with the verdict. Moreover, they've done so in ways that gratuitously racialized the incident, which is what Democratic identity politics today demands of them. Mr. Biden called Mr. Rittenhouse a white supremacist last year, and Ms. Harris said the outcome shows that, quote, there's more work to do, quote, to make the criminal justice system more equitable. And maybe so, Mr. Riley says, but how was this case, which involved a white shooter and white shooting victims, somehow a manifestation of the racial inequity she alluded to? And then he closes out his article making the point, true justice is not about ensuring certain outcomes. And certainly the left wanted a certain outcome in this case. Riley says, it is about ensuring a fair process for determining guilt or innocence. Cases shouldn't be brought to atone for the past, score political points, or satisfy the mob. They should be brought based on facts and evidence. The activists who want prosecutors and juries to disregard such things in the name of equity are seeking payback, not justice. I thought that was a great summary of the aftermath of the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict. In the face of clear evidence that he was exercising self-defense and that he was not the aggressor, we've seen the left come absolutely unhinged. And, you know, Copper, the more I think about this, I've been thinking, what would this case be like? And I don't think there's any doubt that if the defendant, instead of being Kyle Rittenhouse, had been a young black man, the left would have taken the exact opposite position, and rightly so, because it would have been justified by the facts. Here you had a gentleman, and you can have a reasonable debate all day long about whether it was wise, whether it was good judgment to show up in Kenosha, Wisconsin, armed with an automatic rifle. But that wasn't the issue at trial. The issue at trial was, did he show up with intent to murder? Did he murder these individuals? And again, if this had been an African-American teenager who had been threatened by former convicts, convicted felons. One of them, I believe, was imprisoned for 10 years on child molestation charges. The other clearly was violent. He was he did prison time for threatening to gut and then actually strangling his own brother. So these were clearly violent criminals. The evidence showed that they chased Mr. Rittenhouse down. They attacked him, assaulted him, and ultimately somebody pointed a gun at him, and he acted in self-defense. And you just have to wonder what the left would have said or done if the defendant had been a different color. And the point I'm trying to make here is the same that Jason Riley made in his column with the Wall Street Journal. Court cases are supposed to be about justice, not revenge. We're not supposed to make an example out of a defendant when we don't have the facts to back it up. And I want to juxtapose this now to what has just happened in the Ahmaud Arbery case. If you're joining us, Arbery's assailants have been found guilty of murder, and we'll talk about that more in just a little bit. There has been justice done in that case. The jury has reached their verdict, and it's murder for the three defendants in the Ahmaud Arbery case. So stick around with us. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come right back to talk about that and more here on Right Side Radio. Listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I'm Brian Taylor, standing in today for Phil Williams. Phil is having Thanksgiving with his family, and so we wish them the best. Hope they have a great family Thanksgiving and safe travels. We've been talking a little bit today, of course, the Ahmaud Arbery case. There's a verdict in that case. All three defendants have been found guilty of a number of counts. I believe there were 9 counts total for each defendant. But they've all been convicted of murder. And so it's going to be really interesting to see what the left's response is after a week of decrying the criminal justice system for being systemically biased, systemically racist. What we saw coming out of the Rittenhouse case. And, you know, this morning, as I was preparing for this show, and I'll acknowledge, I'm very rusty. I did Radio Copper. Literally 20 years ago, I had my own show. I was a country music DJ overnight in college. And God, it was longer than 20 years ago. But anyway, I'm nervous. And so I appreciate you keeping me on schedule here and making sure I don't flub up too bad. But this morning, as I was preparing for this show, I just on a whim, I decided, I wonder what Colin Kaepernick's up to. I wonder what he said about the Rittenhouse verdict. And so I Googled it. And of course, the first thing that came up was a tweet. But it was actually a tweet embedded in an article published on BET's website, Black Entertainment Television. I don't know if you would categorize that as a news site, but it's certainly part of the media. And the article covered Kaepernick's tweet where he said, "We just witnessed a system built on white supremacy validate the terroristic acts of a white supremacist." So yet another allegation that was completely unfounded by any of the facts presented in the trial. But anyway, Colin Kaepernick said, "We just witnessed a system built on white supremacy validate the terrorist acts of a white supremacist. This only further validates the need to abolish our current system." Let me say that again. He says this only further validates the need to abolish our current system. White supremacy cannot be reformed. What is he saying there? Ladies and gentlemen, he's talking about the system of justice that has been the bedrock of our society, of American society since our founding, that a jury of your peers hearing the facts and the evidence presented, and then deliberating to determine the outcome and reaching a unanimous verdict as they did in the Kyle Rittenhouse case. Somehow this verdict validates the need to abolish the whole dang system, he says. White supremacy cannot be reformed. And do you know what this is the language of critical race theory? This is CRT, folks. This is what it is. We need to abolish all of the great democratic institutions that have made this country great over the years. We just need to throw them out and start over with whatever they want to put in place, which is apparently justice by mob rule. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous. What is critical race theory? I know that there's been a lot of discussion in conservative media, on conservative talk radio, Fox News. But I want to make sure we really understand what critical race theory teaches. One of its primary adherents is Ibram X. Kendi. He's an author and a historian and a frequent commentator on critical race theory. He's a proponent. And he says it this way: the only remedy to past discrimination is present discrimination. The only remedy to present discrimination is future discrimination, end quote. That is his idea of combating discrimination and restoring or normalizing race relations in this country. What he is asking for is essentially what Kaepernick just said. They want a state of perpetual discrimination based on skin color. That's it. That's what they want. And this flies in the face of what the Supreme Court recently said in the case Parents Involved in Community Schools versus Seattle School District was a racial assignment in schools case. And the Supreme Court shot down a race-based assignment to public schools, K-12 schools in Seattle some years ago. And Justice John Roberts wrote very plainly, very clearly, the way to stop discrimination on the basis of race is to stop discriminating on the basis of race. And so that's the conservative argument. And it's also the continuance of Martin Luther King's dream that we won't have a society where people are judged by the color of their skin, but by the conduct of their character. More in just a minute on Right Side Radio. I'm Brian Taylor. We'll be back after this break.